At the heart of all we do in Christchurch is the person of Jesus. He's the reason we exist. We are Christ Church. We're not here to promote our own ideas. We're not here just to have vague religious experiences. We're here to promote the honor and glory of Jesus. Our firm conviction, based on the eyewitness accounts, is that Jesus is God. He's God the Son. And that first Christmas, he stepped into time in order to be our Savior, Rescuer. He was born to die. He stepped into our world in order to go all the way to the cross, to die there in our place, taking the punishment for the things we've done wrong, so that we may be forgiven and know God as our Father. To use Bible language, Jesus is the Messiah, or the Christ, the Rescuer. One of the most important pieces of evidence that this is true is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There are hundreds of prophecies of Jesus written in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, and fulfilled in Jesus in the New Testament, hundreds and sometimes thousands of years later. This is strong evidence that he is who he claimed to be. He claimed to be God. Of course, his perfect life, his miracles, his teachings, the way he went to his death, his resurrection, these things all point to his being God. But this evening, I just want to focus on one prophecy which we had read to us at the beginning, from Isaiah chapter 9. This was written in the 8th century BC. And I've got three things to show you from it. The Messiah will bring hope, the Messiah will be born, and the Messiah will rule. Firstly then, the Messiah will bring hope. They're in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. I wonder how 2016 has been for you. Perhaps your family is flourishing. Perhaps your career is going from strength to strength. Perhaps you're doing well financially. Or perhaps life is a struggle. Perhaps there are problems at home. Perhaps work is very stressful and difficult. Perhaps life seems dark. And into our darkness, Jesus brings light. It was ever thus. When this prophecy was written, God's people, the Jews, were being defeated by the Assyrians. Assyria was the regional superpower. Life was dark. But into this situation of darkness, God sends a great light. Isaiah is clearly referring to a spiritual darkness as well. My friend Neil Harvey was in real spiritual darkness. Neil was a drug addict. He says, "I'd been awake for days, high on amphetamines, before finally falling into an exhausted, uneasy sleep. I'd learned how to sleep and still be ready for whatever might happen in the dead of night. They call it sleeping with one eye open. As usual, I'd left the lights on. Darkness always made me uneasy. That night, in fact, I'd put on as many lights as I could, instinct warning me that something was wrong. In the world that I inhabited, a world of violence and murder, a world without rules, you had to be able to look after yourself. Anything could happen. You can read about Neil's life in his book. It's called Uncaged. Neil was in great spiritual darkness. Above all, he was far from the light of God. But an amazing experience in a prison cell led to God's light shining into Neil's life and showing him a whole new world. Neil thought Christianity was myth. He discovered it was a reality. Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's the experience of many of us here tonight. Life is sometimes dark. Never darker than when we experience bereavement. But even in that darkest of moments, Jesus shines his light. The Messiah will bring hope. Secondly, the Messiah will be born. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Here we have the heart of Christianity. God does not just stay in heaven. He chooses to be born as one of us. He didn't have to do this. But in Jesus, God enters our suffering. He's born in poverty. He could at least have been born in a palace with the best of everything. Instead, he chooses to be laid in a manger, an animal feeding trough. This is love. God loves us so much that he gives us Jesus. And not only is he born as one of us, Jesus lives as one of us, experiencing our joys and sorrows. He grows up. He lives a perfect life. Even his closest friends could testify he never did anything wrong. He never swore. He was never dishonest. He was never unkind. All of this shows us that in Jesus, God was born as one of us. Then thirdly, the Messiah will rule. In verses 6 and 7. I was interested to read in the paper a cozy interview with the Prime Minister about how she spends Christmas. She has a drink in the pub on Christmas Day. Then she visits a Christian group providing lunch for the lonely. She cooks her own lunch, goose, not turkey. The fat makes lovely roast potatoes. Christianity is very important to the Prime Minister. She goes to church on Christmas Eve and again on Christmas Day. Her father was a vicar, and she recalls sitting next to her mother in church. Her mother was the organist. Then she could finally go home and open her presents. She describes Christmas as hugely important. In the 8th century BC, it would have been unimaginable for a ruler to give a cozy interview. Rulers were to be feared. Jesus here is described as a ruler, verse 6. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Rulers often refer to themselves as Mighty God. One South Pacific tribe worships Prince Philip as God. Did you know that? The Prince Philip movement is a religious sect on the island of Tanna in Vanuatu. we may chuckle, but here, the ruler is the everlasting Father, and his kingdom will go on forever. It's going to be a righteous kingdom. So here is a clear prophecy that the child to be born in Bethlehem would be mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is to be feared. And yet, he is full of love. That's why he can be a wonderful counselor, the giver of divine wisdom. Don't we need wisdom? This is why he is the Prince of Peace, the one who makes peace between us and God. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's astonishing. That will not be true for Theresa May. That will not be true for Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. Long though I pray, she reigns over us. Jesus is not like any other ruler. He will reign on David's throne. God established a dynasty, the house of David, as in David and Goliath. Jesus comes from David's line, fulfilled prophecy. He reigns over David's kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We don't see this now. The Bible teaches we will see the fullness of Jesus' rule when he returns to earth in glory. And if the prophecies of Jesus' first coming have come true, I've no reason to doubt the prophecies of his return. The Messiah will bring hope. Jesus brings us hope of life after death, because Jesus died on the cross and paid for all our sin. We can be forgiven, put right with God, and know that we're going to heaven. The Messiah will be born. God was born as a baby. God was willing to leave the glory of heaven to be born to be our Saviour. This was Neil Harvey's experience. God saved him from a life of drugs and crime. God can save any one of us, even if our sins are respectable, middle-class ones. And the Messiah will rule. This is my hope when I see the failures of human governments, for example, in Syria. If you'd like to give some more thought to the Christian faith, we run a course called Christianity Explored. It goes over the basics of the Christian life and the evidence for Christianity. We'd love you to join us on any one of our courses. We'd love to see you at any of our services and events. We'd love to help you to take the next step in following Jesus. Do come and speak to one of us afterwards if you'd like to discuss things further. But now let me pray. Father, again, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was born to be our Saviour. We pray that we might know the reality of this in our own lives. And we pray for our nation and for the nations of the world where there is such warfare, trouble, and suffering. We pray, Lord, that we would see the nations coming under the rule of Jesus as King. And we know that this starts with us, one heart at a time. So grant each one of us to make Jesus our King, and then to live for his honour and glory. Amen.